contract that no one to this point is willing to take.
Yeah, and of course, that was not the current general manager who signed that contract, so a little bit of an inherited mess in that regard for Bill Zito.
But still, you think about it, Pat, you know, they signed Sergei Bobrovsky to that monster deal like 13 days after drafting Spencer Knight.
Like,
it made no sense then, and it makes even less sense now.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because it's not like Spencer Knight was some unknown commodity. He was by far the number one goalie in that draft class, and that was the year that the U.S. National Development Team, everybody went in the first round, it felt like, that year. And there he was as clearly the consensus best goalie in a lot of ways. It's like, well, why are you drafting him and signing Bobrovsky? It's a very fair point you make. It never made a ton of sense.
He was the 13th overall pick, and within 2 years of that, while Sergei Bobrovsky's on this monster contract, Spencer Knight's turning pro during the pandemic and is right into the NHL lineup and played playoff games that year.
Yep.
Like, it's still bananas to think about. And in some ways, you could make the argument, and I've had this heated discussion with other front office people around the league saying, does it actually make more sense for the Florida Panthers, given where they are in their competitive cycle, and given the fact that Bobrovsky's contract is untradeable, is Spencer Knight actually the guy that you should move, because he'd bring you a significant return, one of the few pieces on your roster that's able to do that, and maybe give you a chance to replenish a little bit of your future, because you don't have a first-round pick for the foreseeable future. And given where we are at in the cap right now, you could also make the argument that first-round picks are worth more than they ever are.
Frank Saravelli, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, joins us. He's our NHL Insider Tuesdays on Flames Talk as we move closer to the start of the regular season. Couple of injury questions I wanted to ask you about. Last week we talked about Ryan Ellis. We didn't have full clarity about what's going on. A couple of days after we spoke last week, we found out a little bit more about what exactly and kind of the specifics of what's ailing Ryan Ellis in Philadelphia. This has turned into a situation where, like, we don't know whether he plays again. Career kind of in jeopardy. This is a really difficult situation he's dealing with, isn't it?
It really is. It's, you know, I actually feel for him, and I'm glad that we now have some clarity on where he's been, because the social media interaction, which obviously isn't always positive, there was a lot of vitriol directed towards Ryan Ellis these last, you know, number of months. Where's he been? Is Ryan Ellis still alive? And when you hear about the torn psoas muscle that he has, I didn't even know what a psoas was or where it was located. But if you look it up, you'll understand why it's so significant, because it's at the very core of your body. It runs from your lower spine through your hip, and it's buried so deep, the literal core of your body, that it's almost inaccessible to surgery, and not that much is known about it because it's not on the top of your body. You can't get to it. So it took a process of elimination, almost a full year, for them to figure out exactly what was wrong with him. And he's had a lot of difficulty since then just living a normal life. Like, I'm told that watching Ryan Ellis do exercises is more or less like watching breathing exercises, because that's how little he can do. So I hate hearing that. I always think person first, player second, as much as everyone's interested in the hockey part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a long ways off, Pat, from ever playing again. I'd be hard pressed to think that that'll happen.
If you're looking for it, you can find it on the Daily Faceoff website, or it's, I don't know, about 7 or 8 posts down on Frank's Twitter. So it's really, it's enlightening, and it just gives you a little bit more of a feel as to what exactly Ryan Ellis is going through, because it does not sound nice at all. And now the career very much in jeopardy. So all the best to Ryan as that situation plays out, and as he tries to get back to game shape and get back to even being able to, as you said, work out normally. The other, and kind of similar, and I think still somewhat unknown, we found out last week that Nolan Patrick isn't going to play in Vegas this year. He has been very much riddled by injuries and has had a lot of trouble ever since being drafted number two overall a number of years back. What's happening with Nolan Patrick, and what does the long-term outlook look like there?
Well, it's Nolan Patrick is a tough nut to crack. I'd say I spent about a half an hour on the phone with him 18 months ago, maybe before he was traded from Philadelphia to Nashville and then ultimately from Nashville to Vegas. And another guy that you really feel for, someone that's been through a lot with his post-concussion issues, a lot of time spent more or less lost, not sure where to turn, not sure how to fix it, not sure what's next. And I don't have any line of sight because it has been pretty private on what has occurred since he left and moved out west. But my understanding is a lot more of the same. And that's difficult because, like I said, you could hear at times as he was telling his story, and this was when he was getting back to playing, sense the despair. This is a guy, number two overall pick, tons of hope and promise in his career. For the longest time was touted as, you know, the next number one overall that's really going to be a franchise-changing player. And his career to this point has been, I think it's probably fair to say, an enigma. Like, no one is really sure, you know, what's there to pull out of the player. Even when he did finally get back on the ice, a couple seasons back, after, you know, basically sitting out for an entire season, he couldn't produce. Like, 9 points in 52 games, and he really struggled. You could see it. I don't know if he was tentative or what, but the same player that we saw beforehand that had this big body and was ready to break through to the next level to become a 50-point scorer in the league, And just talking to some players that played on the line with him, like, they would just remark how incredibly skilled he was and that they could see him, you know, making that progress. And now, to this point, ruled out for the whole next season again. I don't know, at age 25, after missing two out of the last 5 years, is his career over? Is it at a crossroads? You know, what happens next for Nolan Patrick? It's really been a sad and disappointing and bewildering story.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and it kind of leads to last topic with Frank Saravelli, our NHL insider. This year in Vegas is fascinating. They have been the talk of the NHL for so many different reasons since they entered the league. And obviously the success for the early going was a big reason. And then the bold moves, the Pacioretty trade, the Mark Stone trade. And then it started getting into weird territory about loyalty to players and whether or not they were too aggressive. And then obviously what happened with Marc-Andre Fleury and then the trade deadline disaster of last year. And now here the Vegas Golden Knights are. They've acquired Jack Eichel. They've got Mark Stone. They've put their roster in such a spot where they've got tons of money committed to big-name players, and yet they don't have a definitive answer as to who's going to play goal for them. And they remain so tight to the cap that Kelly McCrimmon is going to have to be creative all year long. How do you view the coming year for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, to borrow a pun, like, it's a huge bet. This is a gamble for Vegas. And, you know, the heat is on, really, because I think Kelly McCrimmon, their general manager, was hanging by a thread as last season ended in terms of his own job security in Vegas. I know that their owner in Bill Foley did a deep dive on their process and how everything works and ultimately decided to bring Kelly McCrimmon back for another year. But I can tell you this much, knowing what we know of Bill Foley and his demands to bring a Stanley Cup to Vegas, you know, another year being outside the playoff picture is not going to sit well. Mm-hmm. And so when the thing is, though, they're dealing with the goaltending picture, an issue that to me is so significant, with Robin Leonard being out for the full year, you're now gambling what should be a pretty good roster and probably one that, knock on wood, doesn't have as many injury issues as they did last year, 550 man games lost, if I'm not mistaken, and almost half their salary cap at some point sitting on the sidelines. You're betting that roster now, which again should be better and healthier, on who's your opening night starter. Is it Logan Thompson or is it Aiden Hill? And Aiden Hill's sort of been this journeyman backup that's never been able to take over the net on a full-time basis. And Thompson showed some brief glimpses last year, but ultimately they weren't able to get over the hump and Lauren Brossois hurt. So it's going to be a game of goaltending musical chairs there, it feels like, in Vegas. And, you know, they do have some holes on that roster. You know, you look at their back end and still some question marks with Nick Hague as a pending restricted free agent, excuse me, needs a contract, got to get that done. He's an important piece. But I think their blue line really begins to get a little bit thin in a hurry once you get outside of Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore. You know, you're looking at some guys that need to step up and contribute in big spots. And Alec Martinez, how much does he have left at age 35 dealing with a significant and strange injury last year that feels like it has some lingering effects? Riley Smith signs a big contract for three more years at 31 years old. Their group is a little bit older now, and they're trying to transition as well with some younger guys at the bottom of their lineup that probably just aren't ready to bite off more. So this is going to be a huge test for Vegas.
No doubt. And I don't know how many people are necessarily going to have a ton of sympathy if it doesn't go according to plan for the Vegas Golden Knights this year, as we've talked about before. Great stuff as always, Frank. Appreciate the time. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Just wanted to let you know, I did, while we were on the phone, send out just a check-in on where things are at with Mackenzie Weegar, and I am told nothing new to report.
Okay, so there you go. Look at that. While you're doing the hit, you're also doing work. That's a pro, my friend.
I am a multitasker.
Well done. Thank you, pal. Thank you for the update.
Have a good night.
You too. Frank Saravelli, our NHL insider, doing insider stuff while talking with us. He joins us every Tuesday as our NHL insider here on Flames Talk. And he's brought to you by Self Trail Chrysler. With inventory shortages across the city, it's the perfect time to sell your vehicle for cash. Visit selftrailchrysler.com.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We roll on this Tuesday with Aaron Vickers of Daily Hive. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Starting next week, 5 days a week on Flames Talk, it is the Daily Flames Roundtable. And for a few times this week, the Daily Flames Roundtable as well, as we also welcome in the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, to complete our roundtable. And it just feels like everything is fully back to normal when the roundtable is back, Derek. It just feels, even if things feel almost normal, it just feels like a piece of your heart or a piece of your soul is missing if there's no roundtable. Now I feel complete. It's good to have it back.
Well, whenever I'm not in the same room with you, I feel like a piece of my heart and a piece of my soul are missing. So it's good to connect with you on the phone anyway.
Well, you just played off my weirdness perfectly. I'm so proud of you. You're growing. It's been almost a decade and it's finally not phasing you. That's very good news. Gents, let's dive into it. And I want to start by picking up on a topic from Monday's Flames Talk. Aaron and I talked pretty at length about this, but we can reset it on our part. But Derek, just really wanted your take on it as well. As we go into this game Tuesday night in Seattle, Matthew Phillips is going to be in the lineup. He also played the road game Sunday in Vancouver, so his second preseason game. He's coming off just a dynamite season in the American Hockey League, where he was maybe their best skater all season long. He's going into his fifth professional season and is looking at unrestricted free agency most likely at the end of this season based on how many NHL games he plays. We know, and we have talked a lot over the last week or so, about there being a top nine spot open on this team and a wing spot open on this team to start the season. Knowing that, how much of a factor is Matthew Phillips in that conversation?
I'm pulling for him. I really am. I guess it probably stems back to I was born in 1976, the year Rocky came out, and grew up watching and loving, and to this day still absolutely love Rocky movies, love cheering for the underdog, and Matthew Phillips is certainly an underdog. How much of a factor is he? I'd love to see him become a factor. He obviously has proven that he can be a high-end player at the AHL level, but he has to overcome his lack of size. And I had a great chat with Bubba earlier today. We'll hear that coming up on Flames warm-up tonight, and asked him about his size because, you know, he isn't just small. He's really small. As a matter of fact, I remember when he made his NHL debut with the Flames late in that 2021 season, I looked it up on NHL.com, smallest player in the league, and it wasn't even close. And when I asked him about his height and weight today, because quite often, as you guys know, it's not updated on various websites, including sometimes on NHL.com. I said, so, Matthew, you're listed at 5'7", 140. Is that accurate? He kind of chuckled. He said, well, I'm probably a little bit closer to 150, although that depends on the day. It goes up and it goes down. But I'll take the 5'7". So I found that really interesting. And now I'm not going to sit here and tell you that his size is an advantage. It's clearly a disadvantage for him as he tries to get to the NHL. But I think at the AHL level, and I'm hoping he can find a way to do it at the NHL level, although I think it's going to be difficult. But, you know, playing for the Stockton Heat, I think he's been able to find a way to use his size to his advantage. He's really slippery. He's hard to hit. He's got a great skill set, despite being 5'7", and or maybe 5'7", 5'6", 5'7", whatever, and somewhere between 140 and 150 pounds. He doesn't play like he's that small. He's willing to go to the hard areas, which is one of the things that I absolutely love about him. To call him a long shot probably wouldn't even be putting it the right way. I think he's an extreme long shot to play a significant role for the Flames this season, but got into a game a couple of seasons ago, and he has been told his entire life that he's too small, probably too small to play at every single level of hockey. And not only has he played in the NHL, the best league in the world, he's dominated the AHL, or at least he did last season when he led the team in goals, assists, and points. So, you know, too many people have counted this guy out for too long. I'm not going to count him out, but I do think it's going to be really tough for him to make a Flames team that's pretty deep at forward.
I'll be a little more optimistic than you. And for those that are still getting to know me a little bit, I'm the rosy optimist of the group. Very clearly.
That's usually my role, Vickers.
I'm maybe being a little bit sarcastic there on that. I say that only because I look at the competition that he's going to be battling with for that spot. And I think it's really only a spot in the top six. And to me, he's looking like he's going to be battling Sonny Milano for that spot. We may see a situation where, you know, the third line, which I think is an excellent third line of Dylan Dubé, Michael Backlund, Blake Coleman, one of those two guys maybe goes up into that spot to break up that what I think is one of the best third lines in the league if they roll with that. I just look at the level of competition right now, and if the Calgary Flames don't go outside of their camp to fill that right wing spot on the second line, there's only a select few people that I can see competing for that. Jacob Pelletier is another one. We're going to see an audition of Adam Ruzicka on the wing, which I don't think I've seen before, at least not at the NHL level. I just look at the level of competition that he has to beat out, and to me it's not elite. He's not having to leapfrog somebody like a Dylan Dubé in my mind. He's not going to have to leapfrog an Andrew Mangiapane to get this spot. I think with the way the Flames are slotting, at least for the start of training camp, there's a real opportunity for him. And among that level of competition, he's the only right shot. So that's, to me, is a plus in his column as well. He's produced at the WHL level. He's produced at the AHL level. I have no problems giving a 5-10 game audition to see if he can contribute at the NHL level as well.
I think realistically, guys, we're talking about this camp being a jockeying for call-up situation for Matthew Phillips. I don't think Matthew's going to get a recall. I don't think Matthew's going to crack the NHL roster at a camp. And that's not really having anything to do with him. I just think there's really only one spot, and it's going to have to be a very, very resounding camp. And he's going to have to be the best player in the preseason for him to get that spot. Okay, so that's probably realistically not going to happen, and that's okay. But what I think he can really do for himself here is have a strong camp, leave an impression on Brad Treliving and Craig Conroy and Brad Pascal and Chris Snow and Daryl Sutter and his coaching staff, and go back to Stockton where, see, make that mistake, go stay in Calgary, go to the Wranglers, and just be a dominant player once again for every game that he's in. And then when it's time to recall somebody, which inevitably will happen, he can put himself in a spot where they give that real consideration. And that's where you end up seeing, as Vickers is talking about, that 5 or 10 or 15 game audition. And you can really start to see whether or not this is a guy that can cut it. Here's a couple of interesting wrinkles for me in this. First of all, wrinkle number one, I quite liked him in game 56 at the Scotiabank Saddledome of that shortened season. I thought it was a meaningless game. They were playing the fourth of four straight games against the Canucks. Neither team was going to the playoffs. Like, they were meaningless, but I quite liked Phillips. I thought he popped in that game. But it's one game. It doesn't mean anything. It was essentially a late preseason game. So you only put so much into that. But what's really interesting is that this is a player that is, I would suggest, at a crossroads when it comes to his future with the Calgary Flames, because he needs a bushel of games. Like, I think it's around 80 that he needs if in the NHL for him not to become a Group 6 free agent. So he's got the possibility, very likely, of becoming unrestricted. So I think for the Flames, they need to actually evaluate whether or not this is a guy that can hack it in the NHL. And if he continues to be strong in camp, and if he inevitably goes to the Wranglers to start the season and is good again, and an injury pops up and they need a winger, I think they have to think long and hard about giving those 10 or 15 games to Phillips, because I think they need to know whether or not this can happen. And if it doesn't, well, then you know, and you don't lose as much sleep if he becomes unrestricted. But if he does, well, then maybe you can think about re-signing him again and starting to make that more of a conversation in the next camp. I guess that's a very long roundabout way of saying I think he is a factor, but I don't think he's a factor necessarily right now.
I would agree with you 100%, unless there are some injuries between now and the start of the regular season, and then maybe he becomes more of a factor. But I'd be surprised if he started the season in the NHL, but I wouldn't be surprised one bit if he got into some games, whether it be because of injury or maybe late in the regular season, the Flames have wrapped up a playoff spot and want to rest some of their key players, and he gets into a game or some games because of that. But, you know, Matthew Phillips, he's already proven so many people wrong. He's such a great story, and you know, it's hard not to cheer for him, not only because he's clearly an underdog, but because he's such a good kid who continues to work on his game, had more than a point a game, 68 points in 65 games with the Stockton Heat last season. You know he's going to be a fan favorite with the Calgary Wranglers this season. I'm really pulling for him, but I think another thing that maybe doesn't help his cause is that if you're going to bring Matthew Phillips up to the NHL, it's not going to be to play on your fourth line, because that wouldn't be putting him in a position to succeed. He is a first-line player in the AHL, and I think in order for him to have success, he'd have to at least be a top-nine guy put in a role where he could do what he's done his entire life, and that's create offense. And we saw it the other night in Vancouver. You know, he was a big part of that Michael Stone game-winning goal in overtime versus the Canucks. He's an elite playmaker. He can put the puck in his opponent's net at the AHL level. And I think if you're Matthew Phillips, your goal during the preseason has to be to just get another game. And then if you get another game, get another game. Stick around as long as you can and try to put the Flames in a position where if they do have a spot to fill at right wing, that you're in the mix for that spot. And again, if it's not at the start of the season, then you want to leave a lasting impression, although it's going to be a lot easier for the Flames to keep tabs on their prospects this season than it's ever been before, because they're going to be playing in the same building. So
yep.
If Matthew Phillips continues to play at a high level, even if that's in the AHL, there's going to be more eyeballs on him. And I think that probably gives him a better shot to spend some time in the NHL this season.
Daily Flames Roundtable is back here on Flames Talk, and it's Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive, and my name is Pat Steinberg. As we get set for Tuesday's game in Seattle, a really interesting wrinkle that we saw at morning skate, and that was Adam Rzyczka on the wing. The very talented forward who started to make an impression in the NHL last season. And we talked a lot about whether or not there is a path for him down the middle to start the season with the Flames. And just knowing how deep they are at center this year, most people are like, I don't know if there is. But here we are talking about potential spots open on the wing. We've wondered, okay, is that a path for him? He's going to play on a line with Connor Zary at center and Sonny Milano on the right. So in terms of this roster, he's playing with some pretty good line mates for this game against Seattle. Is this the path for him to make the team? Is the wing the path for him to get significant NHL time this year?
I think it's the path for him to make the team coming out of training camp in the preseason, unless, again, there's an injury at center. But the way I see it, guys, and I don't know if you see it the same way, obviously the Flames have their top three centermen not only written in pen, but pretty much written in stone. You've got Elias Lindholm, Nazem Kadri, and Michael Backlund, as good a 1-2-3 punch at center as far as 200-foot centermen go as you'll find in the NHL. So no one's taking one of their jobs. One of them would have to get hurt to lose it. And then I think you've got maybe a combination, but you know, Kevin Rooney's a centerman. I think he's the guy I've got penciled in as my 4C. But then you've also got Trevor Lewis, who's more than likely going to be playing on that line, whether it be on the wing or at center. And you probably, even if he is on the wing, you'll see him take some faceoffs. So I think the Flames are five deep right now at center, because whether it's Rooney or whether it's Lewis, I think both of those guys would be ahead of Rzyczka on the Flames depth chart as far as center are concerned, because I go back to something that Gerald Sutter said last season and said probably plenty of times last season, that if Adam Rzyczka is going to play for the Flames, it's not going to be as their fourth line centerman. It's got to be in a top nine role. And again, going back to the fact that they've got Lindholm, Kadri, and Backlund as their 1-2-3 centermen, there's not a spot in the top nine for Rzyczka, at least not with those three guys healthy. So I do think the path for him to make this team out of training camp is potentially as a winger, and he could still take faceoffs even if he was playing on the wing. But Adam Rzyczka, it looked like he really put in a lot of hard work during the offseason, doesn't it? He was a big boy before, but he looks absolutely massive. And with that size, he marries that with skill. You looked at his numbers from last season, 11 goals and 20 points in only 16 games with the Heat, 5 goals and 10 points in 28 games with the Flames. That's not bad for a guy who wasn't playing a big role and who it played in way less than half the games last season. So he's got all the physical tools to be a good player in the NHL. And if he didn't make the team and was exposed on waivers, I think there has to be a handful of teams out there, maybe more than a handful of teams out there, who would look at his size and his skill set and say, maybe he's worth a shot. A team not as deep as the Flames. I could see maybe plucking him off waivers and bringing him in. But last time I was on with you, Pat, I think it was last time, one of the last couple of times I was on with you, I suggested that Adam Rzyczka on the wing would be an interesting experiment to have because of the Flames' depth at center. So of all the things that I'm going to be looking for in tonight's game against the Kraken, how Rzyczka looks at wing, and it's not going to be something that if he has a good game, you're thinking, well, he's going to be a great winger. If he has a bad game, you're thinking he's going to be a terrible winger. But just watching him and seeing how he looks playing on the wing is going to be fascinating for me because, again, he's got all the tools physically to be a really good player in this league. I think he's done some good developing over the last two or three years. And if he proves to the Flames that he can play on the wing, I think he's got the skill set to play on this team and to play in their top nine. And he's going to have to really, I think, show them a lot on the wing to make that happen. But I wouldn't put it past him. He clearly had a good offseason. He's coming off a really good season last year. And he's a guy who's very intriguing to me because of all the tools he's got in his toolbox.
You're right, Willsey, in that he looks like he put in the work over the offseason. He's listed at 6'4", 220, but he's certainly a guy that I would not want to run into the hallway there in the corridor near the Flames dressing room with my head down, because that is a case for just getting pancaked, whether he sees you or not. It's going to be interesting to see how this experiment plays out, because you're right in that I don't see him spelling Lindholm, Kadri, Backlund, or even Kevin Rooney in my mind down the middle. I think the Calgary Flames are set, and you're right that Trevor Lewis has the ability to play both center and wing, but so does Dylan Dubé as well. So I wonder really, in the grand scheme of things, on Daryl Sutter's depth chart, where Adam Rzeczka would fit in terms of playing down the middle. And if he's not one of your top three, and then of course you have Rooney on top of that, Lewis, Dubé, well, then you need to find space for him. Otherwise, you're putting him on waivers to start the season. And you're absolutely right. He's one of two guys that I can see almost instantly being plucked off of waivers from the Calgary Flames should they hit it in that mass exodus that always happens, you know, 24, 48 hours before rosters have to be set. 5 goals, 5 assists for 10 points in 28 games at the NHL level. 6'4", 220 pounds, probably closer to 225, 230. And that's going up the good way, not the bad. Not the way I went this summer. He did it the right way. There's a lot of things to like in his game. And if you're worried that you can't find space for him down the middle right now, and typically you want a guy to take a spot, you don't necessarily want to find a spot for him. But in this case, why not explore Rzeczka on the left side, especially when you have the option of a guy like Dylan Dubé who can play both sides. You might toy with Andrew Mangiapane playing the right side. There's a vacancy, like we talked about, in the top nine for the Calgary Flames. Why not experiment with Rzeczka on the left side to see if you can fill the left and then move somebody over to the right?
Yeah, guys, I think that is. I think it's his path to potentially crack the opening day 23-man roster or 22 or whatever they decide to go with. I think that that would be the path, because I'm with you about the depth down the middle. I don't think, and you know, how Adam and Daryl Sutter was about him not being a number four center last season just continues to stick in my mind when having this conversation. But I also think, to your point, Derek, I think that it's probably his best bet to, even if he does clear waivers and go to the Wranglers to start the season, it's probably his best opportunity to get a recall if he can show that he can get the job done as a winger in this camp. And look, I think it's a very, very worthy, I don't even want to use it as an experiment. It's just a very worthy try. It's worth looking at. We spoke with him on Tuesday morning after morning skate, and he talked about he feels comfortable at all the positions. He'll do whatever it takes to make the NHL roster. He's fine playing wherever they put him. So he's got the right approach and the right attitude to it. Yeah, this is a big opportunity for him, and it could just add another wrinkle to this whole conversation we've been having for like a week now about a forward spot being open. I'm curious to see it.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't make the team to start the season and ends up going down or across the hallway to the Calgary Wranglers to start the season in the AHL, at least getting a look at him on the wing will let you know if he has that versatility, because the Flames are really fortunate in the sense, and you brought up Dylan Dubé, who can play all three forward positions, although Daryl Sutter did say earlier in the week that he thinks he's better at left wing than on right wing. And there have been players in the past, Matthew Tkachuk, for example, left winger, because he's a left shot, played left wing most of his career, but Daryl Sutter thought he was better on the right side. So having that versatility, I just think it creates more paths for you to either stay in the NHL or get to the NHL, because if the Flames were to have an injury in their top nine at center, then I think Adam Rzeczka would be probably the first guy they'd call up. But if that doesn't happen, knock on wood, let's hope it doesn't happen, and you've got an injury in your top nine on left wing, then maybe he's still your first call-up, even though that's not his natural position. So, you know, if he can go out there tonight and have a good game at left wing and then maybe have two or three more of those before the preseason ends, even if it doesn't result in him getting a roster spot to start the season, I think it gives him another path to get back to the NHL probably sooner rather than later.
Yep, 100%. Good stuff, Willsey. Good to have you back on the round table. Everything feels right in the world. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon, my friend.
Sounds good. We'll see you in a bit.
Derek Wills is the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive. And my name is Pat Steinberg. That's your Daily Flames Roundtable. And Mr. Wills joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline as we start to wrap up this hour of Flames Talk. Atlas Pizza is the 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.